Hey, girl. Hey, welcome back. It's Wake Up with Taylor. Today, guys, I've got Carly Aquilino hanging out with me. Hey, girl. Hey. Hey, girl. And you guys, holidays are here. I can't believe they're here, by the way.
I know.
It's like, I feel like they're going to be here before you know it.
I know.
Very stressful.
Thanksgiving's already over.
Already over.
Well over.
Well over. And so we have, oh, thank God, to calm us down, our Thomas Cagliano hanging out with us today. Hey, boy, hey.
Hey, hey.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
So you're our parenting go-to, but you're also a family expert when it comes to dynamics and relationships and all that jazz.
Yep.
So you're going to help us survive the holiday stress by overcoming assigned family roles. What does that even mean? I'm already stressed out from just that, you know?
Roles are what we set up to play early on. You know, in all families, we have mom and dad at the top of the pyramid.
Yep.
And if mom and dad are nurturing each other emotionally, physically, and everything's okay, a kid just has to be a kid. That's
okay.
It.
Great.
Now,
yes.
There's a problem going on up there. If mom isn't getting enough nurturing from dad or vice versa, children start to form roles in order to survive that childhood, like a people pleaser or a caretaker.
Uh-huh.
Maybe a kid might say, you know, mom's not happy, so let me make mom happy. So they get parentified instead of being a child. Now they're moving up into a parentified role.
Okay.
Now they're taking more care of their mom or dad than they should. That's how these roles are formed early on.
Hmm.
And they show up in your adult life.
Now, Thomas, what percentage of kids don't have to fulfill one of these roles?
It just comes down to if a kid could be a kid.
But how many kids get to be kids?
Not too many.
Yeah, I was going to say like 9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
You don't get to be a kid?
Everything comes from childhood messages handing down from generation to generation.
Uh-huh.
And if parents didn't get healthy messages from their parents, or at least good messages from their parents, they're going to do one of two things. They're going to do exactly what their parents showed them to do.
Right.
Or the complete opposite, because they're not going to know a middle ground. So it's really, that's why a lot of parents, I wish they had parenting courses, parenting schools.
I bet parents wish they did too.
Yeah, you know, to really understand this stuff. Because, you know, when I talk about my book, Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper.
I love that title so much.
You know, that's amazing.
That's what I'm talking about. You know, we put all these expectations and fears in our kids. We don't mean to.
Yes.
But we're doing it because we're not working through our fears and our stuff. So
right.
We put our stuff right in their diaper.
Oh, God. It's so scary. This is why I should never be able to have kids. I have so many issues, and
so
I'm well aware of that.
That's how I am, too. And I would be so paranoid that I'm going to, like, mess up my kid mentally for their whole life. That would be, like, my biggest fear. Because you don't even know. I don't even think parents are aware if that's what's happening, if they're changing. They're doing something that's going to last their kid's whole lifetime.
Exactly.
What's really important for parents to understand is we all think of our relationship with either our mom or with our dad, but what kids watch is the relationship between the parents.
It's huge.
And if a kid is safe in a house where he's not fighting and yelling and screaming,
mm-hmm.
they're going to grow up with much more self-esteem and integrity than in a house where they never know what bomb's going off or what's going off all the time. And parents don't realize that.
Yeah.
They think it's just the messages.
No.
That's why I tell people when there's divorce, make sure you don't play one kid against the other.
No, you can't.
You can't do that because the
kid. You have to co-parent.
Yeah.
As hard as that, I'm sure
it
is.
As hard as it is.
Yes.
And if you can't get on the same wavelength as the other partner, then you do the best you can. You can't make the other parent better in a divorce.
You know, I dated a guy and I saw his parents' dynamic, and after a while of like really, really watching it, I started to realize I got to bail because it started to scare the shit out of me because they didn't have a normal marriage. Well, not normal, but what I saw growing up was so different than what I saw that he witnessed, and I started to see him be like acting out their behaviors in our relationship.
Red flag.
And
you
I'm like, oh hell no! Like I'm not your mom, and maybe you are your dad, but like I'm not your mom, so I'm not going to handle things the same way that she does. And it started to really freak me the F out.
I'm glad you said that, because when you're in a relationship with someone, you're not only in the relationship with the person, but you're in the relationship with their childhood messages as well.
Okay,
you truly are.
That's so interesting.
And if you're looking at parents, And the key is, how do they resolve conflict?
Okay.
It's important.
Okay.
Is one shutting down? Is one parent running away? Is one parent getting angry? Is one parent trying
one
to control?
One parent was cutting up one of the parent's credit cards. That's what I saw.
And you
I
know
was
what?
Like,
oh my, in front of you?
Yes, in front of everybody.
Oh my God.
It was like, that scares
me. If that's happening when company's over, could you imagine what's happening when nobody's at the house? It just them two?
No.
Doors,
no, terrifying.
Crazy.
I know, seriously.
But that stuff's going to show up in your adult life. I mean, if you saw dad when there was conflict, shut down, run away, or do these things, you're not going to be able to, you won't be able to resolve conflict as an adult. So when you get into conflict with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, whoever that is, you're going to go back to that time traveling. You remember to shut down, run away, control, get angry. That's the only thing you knew when there was conflict as a child.
Now, what if somebody right now is listening and they're saying, oh shit, I watch all this crazy crap go down with my parents. Like, is there a way to break the cycle?
First is self-awareness.
Okay.
I have to know how I'm showing up.
Right.
If I don't know what's broken or how I'm showing up, I can't take actions to fix it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I need to gather self-awareness. Now, you can go to a therapist, a coach, anywhere where you grow and enhance your self-awareness. So you say, you know what? When my husband says this, or my partner says this, or my wife says this, I'm not really hearing what he's saying. I'm hearing something differently because of, you know, my distorted filters growing up.
Uh-huh.
And I tell couples all the time, what your spouse says is not what you always hear. And what they say isn't what you hear. Two different things.
Yes.
You follow me?
I do, but I mean, it's like, it makes me want to panic because it's like how... I feel like I lived in a warp reality where like sometimes I say things and I'm whatever. I definitely have one of these things and I don't know which one it is. Okay, so there's a list of the roles you play in your family. There's a people pleaser, there's a caretaker, there's a perfectionist, there's the defiant one. I think that's me. And then the invisible one. Now, here's the thing too. I want to say, my parents are amazing. I love them, but they're humans and they're flawed.
Sure.
So most people probably have one of these characteristics in their
family.
Right? No matter how bad or good their upbringing was.
Right.
So how do you figure out which one you are?
Well, I think you first have to know, am I comfortable in my own skin? And when I go back to my parents, am I able to be me?
Or do I
am
revert
I
back
to
myself? To my role in the family.
Yeah. If I'm a people pleaser and I have a problem saying no to my parents.
Yep.
And I say yes all the time. Number one, I may get in trouble with my partner because my partner may say to me, hey, why don't you say no to your parents? Why do you always got to say yes?
Right.
Don't you say no?
Right.
No means I'm a bad person to people pleaser.
Okay.
I've done something wrong. I'm a bad son. I'm a bad daughter. It's a distorted message. So you have to start to change these roles. And how you do it is to allow other people to help you.
Okay.
Get some girlfriends, some boyfriends, some people that you know you want to change your role.
Uh-huh.
So before you say yes, you hesitate and say, I'll get back to you. You don't react.
Right.
Because reaction is what we do when we're set up in these roles. We just react.
I used to be a people pleaser with my mom especially.
Yeah.
And then I remember one time I said no to her in regard to something. And we got into a huge fight.
Yeah.
And it was like, and logically speaking, it was over, she was coming into town. And she wanted me to have dinner with her and my dad. But I had already had tickets to the U.S. Open.
Okay.
So I said, I can't go because I already have plans.
Right.
And in her mind, somehow, she was like, well, I can't believe that you're ditching us. And I was like, just came here last minute. I'm not ditching you.
I would be ditching the U.S. Open.
I'd be ditching the U.S. Open, exactly. And so, and I understood because I was going with people who I had been complaining about for a while and who were kind of being mean to me.
Mm-hmm.
So she's like, why would you want to spend time with them when you can spend time with me, which I got, but I was trying to repair that relationship with them. So I said, well, me going is moving in a step in the right direction.
Absolutely.
Anyway, they ended up canceling anyway last minute.
Oh,
but
no.
You know, I know all that for nothing.
But
no.
You see, that's what I mean by what you say isn't what she heard.
Right.
She heard that she's not good. You don't want to be with her. You don't care about, or whatever that is.
Right.
It went much deeper in her world than what you said. You said, I have something to do. She heard, you don't love me. You don't want to be with me.
Right.
This is the kind of messaging that I talk about, in that we have to be able to express and communicate to each other. Like, you know, when you said that, I felt like you didn't want to be with me. No, right. Mom, that's not what I said. Well, I said I have something else to do.
Right.
It's not that I don't want to be with you. You got to learn how to communicate because these messages can really set people apart.
Yeah, but we resolved it, which was really good.
Yeah.
But then we ended up hanging out anyway. Yeah. After,
of course.
But we resolved it before we ended up hanging out.
Yeah.
Right. So.
But did it make you, have you said no since then? And has it been easier?
Yes.
It was like more of an open communication? Because that's kind of how I feel. I think like talking about roles, I think my role has changed with my parents as I've gotten older. Like,
yes.
When I was younger, they were so strict and, you know, it was just a different thing. And now they're older, they're retired, they have a grandkid, you know, my brother's son, and they're just really chill. So now I feel like answering that question, can I be myself around them? Of course.
Right.
But when I was a teenager, it's different because they're just trying to keep tabs on you. You don't have that freedom that you do when you're an adult.
And they
you're
are in
their
control
house.
Of their of your life. They get to say yes and no.
Exactly.
You know what? And we need consequences as teenagers. I mean, we need to know that if I choose to come in later than we agreed, I choose not to go out that weekend.
Right.
I choose not to put my toys away. I choose not to play with my toys the next day.
Right.
Parents need to tell children the choices they make create the consequences that they have.
Right.
Not that they're bad kids, but life is about that. You choose A, you need to you have the consequences with A.
Right. You have to be afraid to get in trouble or punishment or something like that.
Right. You need healthy fear.
Yeah.
We all need healthy fear.
Right.
But at what age does that stop? Like, it's very, I've also noticed too with my parents, it's like my family's very spread out. So my little brother is 12 years younger than me, but he's now like a junior in college. So he's an adult, you know? So I think parenting kids and adolescents is one thing, but then parenting adults is like totally different.
Yeah.
How do parents shift?
You know, I always tell parents one thing is that you can choose being right or being close. And if you're always with your children in their adult life, if you only want to be right and only want to prove to them that they have to see things your way,
yes,
you're going to push them away.
Wow.
Choose closeness instead.
Closeness
means
no judgment.
I had this problem with my oldest son. We were very torn apart early on. I'm a recovering addict. He got the worst of my parenting early on. And I remember saying to my wife, you know what? I don't care what I did right or wrong. I want my son back in my life.
Right.
So I didn't go into that relationship trying to prove that I was a good dad and you just didn't understand me. Mm-hmm. I said to him, I want to make this right and I'll do anything I can to get close to you.
Yeah.
You want to go to therapy with me? Without me, but my goal was to get close to my son, not to be right. And if my goal was trying to convince him that I was a good dad and he just never listened the way he should,
right,
we would have never gotten close.
It's so true. They always they say this in marriage too. Do you want to be happy or do you want to be right? Period in the story. Because if you want to be happy, you got to swallow that shit sometimes.
Yeah, you got to make sacrifices.
Yeah, I have couples. They want to be victims to each other. Nobody's listening.
Oh, God. It must be the most frustrating thing in the world.
Yep.
Okay, so the caretaker role. What's that? What are characteristics of that?
A caretaker is a kid that grows up feeling that they need to take care of too many things. They're responsible for their mom's happiness, their dad's happiness.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones that on the holidays, they're doing everything.
Yeah.
They're doing it. And they don't know how to stop doing things. Now, when you change a role, it could be healthy. Like a caretaker may have to say, let me give responsibility to my kids a little bit, to my partner, spouse a little bit.
Right.
But when you change a role, even in a healthy way, people may not like that.
Right.
All of a sudden, it's like, whoa, you're supposed to do everything.
No
I'm not
likes
supposed
change.
To do anything.
It's really true.
That's why when you change these roles, it has an effect on everybody in the family.
It's true.
Not just you.
It's true. What about the perfectionist?
Well, you know, those are people at the end of the day, you know, they cook the Thanksgiving dinner, and one thing, the soup was too salty.
Right.
And they don't hear the 10 compliments they got.
Right.
They, at the end of the day, only look at what they could have done better.
Their failures.
Never celebrate their victories. Only looking at what they could have done better.
Hmm.
And that, again, is from childhood, again, where maybe you were you disciplined too much. Where
right.
Every time you made a mistake, you felt like you were a mistake.
Right. The defiant one.
That comes from controlled childhoods, where there's a lot of rules, regulations.
Uh-huh.
I have clients that if they have an 8 o'clock appointment, they come 8:15. If I move at 8:15, they come 8:30. They just want to be defiant.
Right. My mom accuses me of being this one.
Really?
I can't help it. I'm a rebel. Is there a difference between being the defiant one and then just being like a free spirit?
Well, I think so, but I will get into that another time.
Okay.
But
and then the invisible one is the last one. This one breaks my heart.
Yeah, you hit it. It is. You know, everybody has a sibling or somebody in the family that doesn't show up for the holidays because it's too painful to be around the family.
Yeah.
Right. Those are the invisible. Those are the ones usually in big families where they get lost.
Yeah.
Because they're just too many kids and they lose their voice. They don't share their feelings because there's too much going on. And they feel if I share my feelings, I'm being selfish.
Mm-hmm.
In reality, that's self-care. But they've gotten the message that they're being selfish. And a lot of times they're the ones that really don't show up a lot in parties or just kind of fall in the back.
But the good news is you can change your role.
Yes, you can.
Yes.
But you have to make it a we process.
Okay.
You have to get the support of people, friends, family, that you say, I want to change my role. Can you support me on this?
Mm-hmm.
And we could do for each other a lot more than we can do alone. So I always say, make role changing is a we process.
Okay. Well, Thomas, thank you so much for joining us. It's always a pleasure. And you guys can go to thomasgagliano.com for more pearls of wisdom.
Well, theproblemwasme.com. It's a little easier than spelling my last name.
Yeah, your last name is a bit hard. I'm even scared of saying it.
Yes, yes.
Say it again, what the website is?
It's theproblemwasme.com. And that my first book was a bestseller, The Problem Was Me. So that's more of a self-help book. And Don't Put Your Crap in Your Kid's Diaper is a parenting book.
Yeah. So good. Thank you so much, Thomas.
Thank you again for having me. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You guys will be back in just a little bit, so don't you go anywhere.